Speculation is rife as to what the government will outline in terms of budgetary support for Eskom next week. There are also many questions about the implications of Eskom being split three ways into generation, transmission and distribution, especially in light of that huge 420 billion rand debt it will continue to carry. And of course, Labour representatives are none too pleased about the announcements, and any transition is not likely to run smoothly. So to give us his interpretation on these issues, I'm joined on the line by Thembani Bukula. He's the CEO of PowerX and critically is a former member of the energy regulator NERSA. Thembani, with Eskom now set to split into generation, transmission and distribution, what proportion of value do you roughly expect to be allocated to each business unit?
If you look at the number of employees and the assets, it is likely that generation would have to be anything between 60 and 80% in as far as splitting Eskom. Your transmission division normally has anything between 2,000 and 3,000 employees, probably 10%. The other bigger portion is distribution, with around 20 to 30,000 employees, which can be reduced. So it can be 20% of the current Eskom.
Mm. So when it comes to the debt, which is over 400 billion rand, how might that be divvied up among the three business units?
That 420 billion rand debt, 80 to 90% of it is Eskom generation debt. It's the building of the Medupi, Kusile and Ingula station. Mm. When you look at your transmission division, over a 20-year period, I think their spend would be 100 billion rand. So 90% of the debt should go to transmission. To generation.
Yeah, understood. So in terms of a rationalization of employees, do you think that's going to be possible substantially right across all three units?
It has to be. I mean, at the end of it all, I think that we all as South Africans want efficiently and right-sized entities to either provide electricity or deliver whatever services that are required to be delivered.
Yeah.
And I think right sizing of Eskom across the board would provide us with those operational efficiencies that we require.
So in this process of Eskom being split up, which business units could be invested in by the private sector to achieve the efficiencies and, you know, create the competition in the sector that we need, which for so long has been a monopoly? And are there certain countries which seem to have got the balance right in this area that we can draw lessons from?
There are countries that have got it right, but I think we must accept that it's also an evolving business model. But generation, by far, is the one where, if we want to solve our 420 billion rand debt, is the one where private investors should come in. And this is in line with what the president has been saying, that he wants to attract investment. So if certain stakes in the generation division are sold to the private sector, given power purchase agreements of 10 to 12 years, it would ensure that you do not have a pressure on the price increases, because the assets have already been revalued anyway to be values that are much higher than what the normal accounting depreciation value would put those items at. Your transmission is normally held by government, because that's your freeways and that's what provides the infrastructure for electricity distribution. In other countries, distribution, there is private participation, but it's not necessary. So for a start, I think we can start by having the private sector playing a role in generation and maybe a little bit in distribution, because the distribution infrastructure does require major maintenance as well.
Mm. But, I mean, would the private sector have an appetite to jump into generation, for example, when there is such huge debt? Because presumably they would need to take some of that on.
No, but the debt is only for Medupi and Kusile. The other 15 power stations have been paid off. In fact, if you were to value them with the normal depreciation and normal evaluation rate, most of them would be sitting in Eskom's books at 1 rand. So those are the power stations that you would want your distributor, your private investors to invest in.
Mm.
They have been revalued, so they can get the Electricity Regulation Act does allow for a reasonable return for efficiently operated assets. So in my view, the generation sector, there should be an appetite if you are going to get a 20-year power purchase agreement, which is the same agreement you would get if you were to build it from scratch. It is doable in my view.
Mm. So Labour in particular is very wary of the private sector involvement, especially in strategic assets which provide social goods like electricity. So would you expect that, given that capital's motive is to maximise profit, that the regulator may be further empowered to ensure that consumers aren't taken for a ride?
Fortunately for this sector, it's a regulated sector. So the returns that your private sector must get are regulated returns, which would then be transparent in exactly the same way as the independent power producers that have come in for renewables. They are also getting returns that are regulated.
Hmm.
So in as far as your private sector maximizing its profits, I think in the generation space, in the electricity supply industry, investors that invest there do not want short-term returns. Across the world, investors that invest in the generation space know that the returns are long-term returns, but guaranteed returns over a long given period. And that's what the restructuring must promise and provide to investors, and investors will take.
Yeah. So you'd mentioned the fact that the debt really sits with Kusile and Medupi. And of course, Eskom is asking for these 15% tariff hikes, which are unlikely to even, you know, scratch the surface in terms of their debt service costs. So what then should happen around the Eskom debt? I know, obviously, come next week, we're going to hear from the finance minister about what possible solutions will arise. But what would you advise or suggest?
What I would advise is exactly the splitting is in the right direction. The next thing is you get your private investors to buy a stake in the generation assets that exist, and that amount of money that your private investors would pay would be to reduce the debt that the Eskom has, the 420 billion rand debt would be reduced. If it's reduced by half, and your interest payments are also going to reduce substantially, and that then enables South Africa to have an affordable electricity service.
Yes, indeed. Now, Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan warned the nation yesterday that Eskom is set for real problems if government doesn't assist imminently. Is there not a concern on your side that perhaps, given that we have a sufficiently constrained fiscus, that we're now going to be attracting the attention, the wrong attention of the credit ratings agencies? Because at the end of the day, the debt has to be whittled down somehow, and it's not just going to disappear.
It's a concern, but remember that solving this is going to be done both as the immediate term, which is the immediate term is the fact that Eskom needs the money to pay salaries, to pay for the goods that they need to buy to produce the electricity, such as diesel, which they don't have. If they had the money to buy the diesel, they probably would have banned the diesel and would not have had deep load shedding like we had.
Mm.
And with those constraints on the operational side, your only other avenue for getting money is by selling a stake in your generation assets. And this country has done similar things in the telecoms space with the telecom or our landline telephony when it was being split. And at some stage, we even had a stake in Vodacom as telecom.
Yes.
and a telecom being owned by this country. So it's not that there's something new that's going to be done or something that has never been done in allowing government and the private sector to work together. And it's exactly what the different summits that we've been having and the president has been talking requires.
Mm. So we're hearing that there were design specification errors around the large coal-fired power stations, Medupi and Kusile. When it came to these ultra-large projects, where was the energy regulator in this? Because surely there should have been somebody or a body outside of Eskom to ensure that the application of taxpayer funds was being properly done. Should that not be part of NERSA's role? And even if it was, would there have been capacity to oversee that?
The role of the regulator in as far as the operations of Eskom is probably limited. However, they have the tools to ensure that in as far as their monies that they allow ESCOM, they ensure that these monies are benchmarked and are not enabling ESCOM to overspend. And yes, this was a big build program, and the welding part, which is really the quality control of ESCOM, which is what is defective in the boilers, is one where I think that even if the regulator tried, they probably would have had to be working at the power stations to be able to stop defective welding.
Hmm.
This is a quality control measure that the utility was tasked with building those power plants should have put in place.
Yes. So having been at the regulator yourself, how difficult a balance is it for the regulator to strike between ESCOM's tariff demands, which occur every now and then, and weighing that against the needs of the consuming public and enterprise and the economy at large?
It's a very, very delicate balance, and sometimes difficult to achieve because you've got conflicting requirements. But as a rule, when you make decisions at the regulator, it is not a question of looking at the one decision you're making at a particular point in time, but the series of decisions that you make, which will at the end be of greater good.
That was Thembani Bukula. He's the CEO of PowerX and critically a former member of the energy regulator at NERSA.